You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology, hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 215 of the weekly Shared Security Show. And joining me is a man that began his InfoSec career at McDonald's. Co-host Scott Wright.
I'm not the only one.
No, you're not. Kevin Johnson also worked at McDonald's. He is unable to join us this week, but something you guys have in common.
Oh, yeah. I know. And you know what? Now that you mention it, I have a social engineering story from when I used to work at McDonald's.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was nothing earth-shattering, right? But I remember working early morning shifts, you know, like Sunday morning or something like that. And they'd be doing the, you know, Egg McMuffins and everything was driven by timers. I'm not sure how it works these days, but this was in the mid-70s, right? And so there was these manual timers. You'd flip a button and a beeper would go off 30 seconds later for flipping burgers or eggs and stuff like that. And so I remember I used to work a lot of time on the grill, and one time they put me on lot and lobby, where you go out and, you know, empty the garbage cans and pick up the trash and mop the floors and all that stuff. And I hated it, but I just remember it was so slow and I was bored. So I went through the kitchen and I pushed all the buttons on the hamburger timers while the guys were cooking their eggs.
Wow.
And then I walked around to the front lobby, and then I heard this beep, 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 beep. Just going, what's that? So anyway, nothing too impactful, but it was fun. You know, lots of fun stories.
Well, we will be talking about hacking McDonald's ice cream machines later in the show. So yes. Maybe that is somewhat related. But I wanted to talk about, I think everybody obviously in the world is talking about what's going on in the Ukraine right now with the Russian invasion. And from a cybersecurity perspective, there has been a lot of news about hackers going after Russian assets, going after their technology, their companies in Russia. Anonymous has done quite a bit of things, denial of service attacks, all kinds of things across the board. So we kind of pulled out a few of the most interesting stories that have been making the rounds that we wanted.
Maybe not the most controversial, but more fun.
Well, it depends on your opinion of controversy.
But, I guess.
But before I get into that, I do find this interesting that this is the one thing that going on in the world that I think no matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on or, you know, whatever you do in your daily lives, right? Everyone is really coming together against Russia in this invasion. It's really fascinating to me. So who would have thought the one thing to bring everyone in the world together was a war, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe I could speak for Kevin, you know, since he's not here.
Yes, you can.
He'd be the one that would say, I don't know if this is a good thing, you know, because, you know, having Anonymous on your side might not be the
right
the best indicator. Right. I mean, vigilante, you know, sort of hacktivism, or I know he hates that word, but
definitely hacktivism that's going on for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, we're cheering them on right now. But, you know, who knows in a month or two, who's going to get, you know, harmed? I mean, not that there's any real impact I can imagine, but it's just one of those principal things that Kevin may actually have an opinion on.
Yes, that's right. So and you're right. I mean, war is never a good thing. There's no ever good reason to, you know, go to war. Right. But it's just kind of interesting how this is really across the world really has made a major impact. And we're seeing right now, at least as the, you know, when this was recorded, the Russia economy is just tanking because of things like what we're about to talk about. So
let's jump into it.
Yeah. So let's get into the interesting story. So one was that electric vehicle charging stations along one of Russia's major highways, it's the M11 in Russia, which goes from like Moscow to St. Petersburg. Well, they're not working because the Ukrainian company that provided parts for those chargers hacked them. they hacked their own, basically using a back door in the control systems, and basically had changed the message, on the display to, some pro-Ukrainian messages.
Or anti-Russian messages.
Yes, and anti-Russian messages. So that's an interesting one. And the fact that, they hacked themselves, also a little interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in that story, was it not that one of the third parties that supplied parts to the charging station had a back door in?
That's right.
Probably for maintenance or something, right? Yep. And they just said, what the heck? Let's make use of it.
Right. Exactly. And then the other one that I thought was interesting was the anonymous hacking group. They hacked Vladimir Putin's multi-million-dollar super yacht. And they actually made it look like it had crashed into Snake Island. So that is that island that you've probably seen in the news where there was 13 Ukrainian soldiers basically told the Russian warship to, F off, which is a bunch of memes.
And then we never heard from them again, but hopefully they're okay. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Supposedly they're still alive. That's the latest I've heard on that. But they changed the name of the ship. So you know how like ships and airplanes have identification numbers. They changed it to FCKPTN, which if you spell that out, I won't mention it on the show since this is a...
you don't want to get...
I don't want to get the explicit tag on here, especially on YouTube. changing its destination to hell.
That's hilarious.
Which was funny. So those are two of some of the most interesting ones going on, but there's also been other things. So Anonymous has claimed that they have shut down the Russian space agency. They said they've successfully breached over 300 Russian websites, and then offering troops over $53,000 to give up their tanks, Russian tanks. So paid out in Bitcoin.
Funny. Wow. That's hilarious. But I wanted to just make a comment on the space agency thing. A question comes to mind. So what happens to the astronauts in the ISS?
That is interesting because, I think Russia right now is basically saying they're done with supporting the space station. They're just done with everything space related because of the war and what the West is doing. So
I think I'd be a little worried if I was up there.
If you're like,
am I ever going to get home?
who's going to take me back? But I think people like Elon Musk and SpaceX, I think, I've seen some tweets by them saying that, they would take care of the space station, right? And the astronauts there. So I'm not too
worried.
I think
there's a bit of a time deadline on that too, because the space station actually has to be propelled into higher orbit once in a while as its orbit decays. And if the Russians stop supporting that, then something has to be done soon.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we'll see what happens to things like that. But there is just no shortage of Russian everything that's being hacked right now. And it's interesting to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, with that, let's jump into this week's Aware Much segment.
Yes, indeed, Tom. It's that time again. So we've got a interesting type of attack that ends up with the attacker being able to monitor Teams messages, for an organization via a compromised Office 365 account. And there are actually a number of variants on this kind of attack that use different use cases. And I probably can't describe some of them, but the one that seems the easiest for exploiting to me in this way would be done through just a stolen password for an Office 365 account if the account doesn't have two-factor authentication turned on. And I read an article recently that said it may be that only 20% or so of Office 365 accounts actually have two-factor authentication turned on, which is really scary low. So if an attacker can use credential stuffing or guess your password to access your 365 account, Office 365 account, not only can they access your email now, but they could potentially access your Teams sessions. They could monitor conversations over that Teams channels, and they could actually post chat messages and links. And as the article points out, you know, people are a lot less leery of clicking on links in a Teams because it's a trusted group in some ways. But this kind of breaks that down. So they could inject malicious links into the chats and ding, 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 you know, we've got our exploit on its way. So that tip is just to make sure that everybody has their two-factor turned on, whether it's in the enterprise or your private use of Office 365, just make sure you've got it turned on. Do you have any thoughts on that, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, two-factor authentication is such a requirement these days. It was something we've always promoted on the show, but it's the number one thing that I tell people to do with any account that they have. So you need to enable two-factor authentication. And I know we've said that, you know, text-based authentication or two-factor is not as good as app-based two-factor authentication, but it's better than nothing. So you need to enable that across the board. It's one of the most important things you can do to safeguard your accounts.
Absolutely. Excellent. So this installment of Aware Much was brought to you by ClickArmor, the gamified security awareness platform that brings a new level of effectiveness to mm-hmm. your phishing training and assessment. And something really exciting today that I have to talk to you about. I've hinted at it before, but you know, regardless of what solution an organization is using for awareness training, companies often end up asking us, so what can we do to make sure employees remember the guidelines for spotting phishing messages after they've actually taken the initial training courses? Because we know that that knowledge kind of decays very rapidly if you don't exercise your skills. So our new feature is called Challenge Streams. And our first implementation is going to be called Phishing Challenge Streams. And it delivers a weekly series of 3-minute gamified phishing exercises for employees to play, practice, and learn tips. So just to keep up your skills, keep sharp, and do it on an ongoing basis, which has never really been done before. Each challenge has new examples of potential phishing emails delivered to all employees at the same time every week. And when you think about it, nobody really would want to do phishing tests or consume course materials with traditional training platforms.
Definitely.
Quarterly, let alone weekly. But because we use ClickArmor's gamified platform, the whole experience is much more enjoyable. It's a 3-minute time limit that's short enough for most people to be able to squeeze into a week somewhere. And the social aspect of having a leaderboard makes it a little more important to achieve a better score so you don't look so bad. Even though it is anonymous, you know where you are and you kind of want to do better. Employees can even go back and do previous challenges to improve their scores and their rank on the leaderboard. And we can accumulate streaks of completed challenges. So you finish one challenge before the next one comes out, you get a little streak. And it's fun, but really for a serious purpose that drives assurance and risk management. So this is really going to be a valuable way for maintaining employee resistance against phishing attacks and will be easy for organizations to administer. Basically, each challenge stream, once we set it up, is set and forget. You don't have to do anything. ClickArmor provides the ongoing phishing email examples and we send out the notifications and they just continue on. And so it makes it really easy to deploy. Some organizations will hopefully start questioning, you know, what the role of their mock phishing simulations is within the program, because you can't really do them that often and it's really kind of unreliable data, causes end user backlash, a lot of different things I've talked about in my webinars before. So we think this is going to be a much more inclusive solution with a positive impact on culture that really provides better value with less hassles. So visit clickarmor.ca and learn about phishing challenge streams. And we will talk to you then when we get a chance to connect.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I love how you guys are continuously pushing the envelope of phishing awareness and gamification.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much we can do. We've got a whole lot of ideas and things on our roadmap and just love to start making progress with this next week. Actually, we're launching this. So it'll be available as soon as you get this message, it'll be basically available. So we're looking forward to hearing from people and getting their feedback on it.
What does it mean to go off the grid? Well, for most of us that are constantly relying on our smartphones, tablets, and laptops, it means shutting them off and doing some other activity, like getting outside or spending time with friends and family. Now, you're probably a lot like me and struggle with turning off or putting down that smartphone because we always feel the need to be constantly connected. Listen, it's hard to go off the grid, but the good news is that there are products that can help. So that's why I recommend using a silent Faraday bag, which can instantly block all wireless signals, quickly taking you off the grid and giving you back control of your wireless devices. Check out their full product line at slnt.com. And because you listen to this podcast, make sure you use discount code SHAREDSECURITY at checkout to receive 10% off your order. So our last story of the week, I did want to start with a just kind of a scenario for all of you listening or watching this show on YouTube. But have you ever been to a McDonald's and you wanted to get some ice cream? And have you noticed that the ice cream machine was down? Because this is a very common occurrence across the United States, where many, let's just say many of the ice cream machines are just not working or they're malfunctioned. And so there's a very interesting story about how ice cream machine hackers. Now, the term hacker in this context, we'll maybe explain what that means in a minute, but
yeah, it's a little misleading.
Yeah, but but they are suing McDonald's for $900 million in damages to their business. That's a lot of money, first of all. But this is so this company called Kitsch, they make a phone-sized gadget that basically attaches to the ice cream machines at McDonald's franchises. So the franchise owners can purchase these, they can put them on the machine. And basically what it does is it monitors kind of the status through, you know, an app, right, that the owner can have about the status of their ice cream machine and what's wrong with it, you know, monitors kind of the internals of it. And it really helps the business owner, you know, understand what's wrong with it, because these machines, for some reason, keep failing for various reasons. And there's actually a lot of conspiracy theories around the reasons why that Taylor is the company that owns these machines that they sell to McDonald's franchises. And apparently you have to go through a lot of hoops with their tech support. You have to call an on-site technician to come and fix the machines because
it costs money, probably,
which costs a lot of money. And McDonald's and Taylor don't want the owners, you know, fixing their own machines, which, you know, maybe gets into the kind of the right to repair stuff that's going on in the industry. Yeah. And there's actually a fascinating video on YouTube, which we'll have linked in the show notes, about an investigative reporter that did a ton of research about why these machines keep failing and why they're always broken. In fact, there's a website that you can go to see in real time these devices, these Kitsch devices that are monitoring across the whole United States all of these ice cream machines. It's called McBroken.com. So you can check that out. But
And
the reason I bring this up just from a cybersecurity perspective is that this is something that is definitely ongoing, not necessarily with malfunctions, right? But thinking about the availability of systems, right? And someone comes up with an idea or a hack to monitor or to fix a potential problem that maybe a large corporation doesn't want fixed because it's a large stream of income for that company. That's you know, this does happen in other industries as well, which I find fascinating.
Yeah. So and it's interesting with all the, you know, new IoT sensors and
right.
I guess they call it cyber physical now, you know, where you're able to get kind of data onto the internet or control things from the internet. And I think we're, you know, maybe having a lot more visibility soon on those kinds of scams that may be happening.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But fascinating story. I definitely encourage people to watch that YouTube video, read the story as well about this lawsuit. It goes down a rabbit hole that is very hard to come out of. So I'll just say that,
a story you won't hear on any other podcast, right.
And the next time you go to McDonald's and you notice that the ice cream machine isn't working, now you'll know why.
I'm just looking. Oh man, the one near me is down. Oh man.
Yep. It's fascinating. So
McBroken.com.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Well, that is all we have for this week. So hopefully we have Kevin back for next week to provide his always colorful commentary. And maybe he'll he has shared McDonald's stories actually on the show before.
Oh yeah, we've commiserated on. I've still got more of them. We'll save them.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Anyone that's worked in fast food, I'm sure has amazing stories. So.
Yeah.
All right, but until next week, we'll let everyone go. But thanks for listening, and talk to you all soon. That's all for this week's show. Visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all previous episodes and to sign up for our email newsletter. Looking for shared security merch? Be sure to check out our shop at store.sharedsecurity.net. Don't forget, you can always find us on Twitter at SharedSec. And if you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.